I've had two surgeons call me and say, can you work with this man? Two different men. They have scheduled surgery three times and not shown up day of. We want to do it again, but we can't have them not show up.
Yeah.
Can you help them? And in both cases, I've maybe had a woman not show up once and then literally they just didn't do it. Like, they're just like, I'm done. This didn't happen. But these repeat, when I asked the repeat men that didn't show up, like, what, they're too afraid they're going to die. They're like, I am the breadwinner. I take care of my family. Like, this is a duty to my family to be alive. If I do this thing that to them still felt kind of a choice and I die, I'm the worst.
Like provider.
Provider.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Ashlyn. Just one more thing before we begin. I will be sharing some of my own plastic surgery journey, which is personal to me and may not reflect what others go through. And if you're a current client of mine, please talk with me first before listening, because knowing personal details about me could affect your therapy. And your well-being always comes first. Now on to the show.
Welcome back to the Cutting Edge Podcast, where you get all of your information and all the safety stuff, because we want you guys to be informed and safe. And of course, we have our experts with me, Miss Ashlyn and Dr. Batis.
Hello, hello. Hello, we got a good episode tonight. I know I say that every night.
That's true. But this one's a little different, because guess what, guys? Men get plastic surgery too. It's not just ladies. And there is a lot of things that there's some things that are different. So we definitely wanted to cover, because they were talking about stuff I've never even heard of before we even hit the button. So let's get started. So I guess first I kind of want to know, like, when Dr. Bates, how many men do you typically get in a year? Just like roughly.
That's a tough question. We probably get about 10%, and that's not a number per year, but I'd say one out of every 10 patients
is a guy.
Is a male. Yeah. Yes. Maybe a little bit more. It's definitely not 20%, but maybe like 10 to 15.
Okay.
Does that mirror like the national average, you think? Or you see more?
I think
more
we
or
probably
less?
See more than the national average, only because we do a lot of weight loss surgery. And even though women still make up the majority of patients who get bariatric surgery, small percentage of those men come in and they're bothered by the loose skin or bothered by their appearance overall. And then also because I do things like high def lipo for men and women, but, you know, for men, sometimes like we did one yesterday, for example, they come in and they just want kind of a more athletic or toned appearance. So I think because of both those reasons, I get a fair number of men who come to the practice.
I like that.
I'd say definitely higher than the national average for male plastic surgery.
And do they seem confident? Are they nervous? Like, what's their demeanor like?
That's a good question. I think it's all over the board, to be honest.
It?
I mean,
yeah.
it's just like women, right? Some are uncertain, have a lot of questions. Some might have had consults before and they kind of know what they want. Some, you know, when you have a lot of loose skin, it's almost obvious to the patient as well. Like, hey, I need a tummy tuck or I need this. I do think, just like women, a lot of education is needed. You know, I think I've said this before, a lot of weight loss patients need a full lower body lift, right? Or a 360 scar that goes all the way around. And the same applies for men. And even in men, for example, we talk about BBLs and it's always kind of a funny thing to say, well, yeah, I think you need some BBL. And they're like, well, I thought that's like a woman's surgery. And it's again, it is and it's not. I mean, in men, you want to shape and give, either remove or add volume. But in weight loss patients, you have to add it because there's none there.
Right.
You're not gonna make it round and fill in the hip dips, for example. You actually want to remove where you have that gluteal depression in men, you know, when they contract the buttocks, you have that kind of shape in. But again, that's, you know, you call it a BBL, call it buttock shaping, whatever you want. It's part of shaping a male torso, as opposed to a woman torso is going to look a little bit different.
Ooh. I would say too, with the men that I talk to, I think there's a bit more like, a lot of my men struggle with the fact they needed bariatric surgery.
Yes.
And then there's another level for us to have a conversation about, now I want to have plastic surgery, and that feels like a thing that women do.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I know very well that I've had several male clients and people I know personally who've had skin removal post-bariatric, and that is just as necessary in men as in women. But sometimes I have had, like, we need a little more pep talk to, like, make the call or acknowledge that that's, like, a normal thing. Like, I should just be happy. It's fine. I think sometimes a little of that bleeds over from, like, I used to be in a larger body. And I felt some shame about that. And now I'm having to go and have, you know, be put back together, what feels like. And so maybe there's an extra layer because they don't know any other men who've had it. Or I think maybe even a lot of women, even not bariatric, I don't know, 18 or 19, I had a couple friends who even at that point had had something done, their nose done, their boobs done.
Oh, wow.
So I think it's a little more common in women's circles to know someone who's had it, but maybe not so much in men's circles. And I know in my personal life, someone who you would have never guessed, never told us, you know, told, and it was a very interesting, and I was kind of like, oh, that's kind of, but in his mind, that was like a absolute no-go to
like,
tell
don't
anyone.
Don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not he had surgery, but didn't tell anyone.
Correct. Yeah, he had, I won't even say the type, but he had a type of a plastic surgery himself, not a bariatric patient, just something that bothered him. So he had a fix.
Nose?
No. Even more interesting, right? Mm.
That's probably the most common one.
The yeah, nose. I think that yeah. would have been too obvious. I think other people
yeah,
would have
I was gonna say,
that.
I mean, it's probably one of the most common, but yes, when you mentioned that he didn't tell anyone, you know, unless it was a very small thing, like shaving a hump or something.
Yeah, which was interesting. I think he told me because he knew what I had had, and he had, you know, questions, and he wanted to see if I knew the surgeon that he had gone to and if I had any opinions. But it was interesting because he kind of knew I was in the circle, that I could be in the circle. But I have a male client right now who's had a really good result, too. But, like, nobody, you know, nobody knows.
I feel like that's common.
Some of the surgeries we do, I think.
Yeah. But I feel like that's more common with men, right? Yeah. Because, like, I know men that's had it, obviously, through bariatric surgery. And then they're like, oh, all right, this is the next step. And then I've known guys that I've worked with that have, like, just talked about it and talk about it and talk about it. But they're so scared to do it or to be judged that they went and did it. So I totally get why, like, the one that you're seeing is like, nope, we're not telling anyone.
So I think, Mel, what you were trying to ask earlier, you know, we probably don't see a lot of those patients, a lot of those men specifically, right, who are ashamed or embarrassed. I don't see them. Ashlyn, you probably see them, you know, in therapy, but they don't ever step foot in my office, even for a consultation. I would say the ones who come in usually book surgery. That's because they know, you know, they're taking that first step. Whereas I think a lot of men, even after bariatric surgery, and men in general, you know, the majority of people who go to a plastic surgery office, even if it's for Botox and fillers and things like that, are women. So I don't interact with those men who are embarrassed, ashamed, you know, whatever it is.
Right.
Unfortunately, wrongfully so, right? We've talked about the fact that it's necessary in men just as it is for women. So there's no need to be embarrassed or, you know, ashamed about it. Obviously, if it's not for you, that's a personal choice. But if you've thought about it, I think it's definitely worth exploring.
And I think for some of my clients, the medicalness of it, which for some women is off-putting, for a lot of my men is like, we went in, we talked about the thing, I got the information. It felt more in a medical setting. They didn't feel like they were like in a medical spa or like doing something more cosmetic. It felt like very medical in nature. We talked about where scars were going to go. Like, I don't know what they thought it was going to be like, but I know I've had a couple come back and be like, that we got down to business.
But they're just more straightforward and logical about it. Like,
right,
it seems
right.
Like
where a lot
not...
of my women are like, well, I asked about this and I asked about that and what about this? And, you know, where they felt more like, okay, business.
I will say, and this is me speculating, Ashlyn, maybe you can confirm or deny. I feel like men are typically more afraid to. I mean, and I think of this, like, I think about like a vasectomy, right? You talk to a lot of couples, for example, when they're done having kids. I had one done. It's a super easy procedure, outpatient, in an awake, right? No general anesthesia required. It took about 15 minutes. But then you talk to most men about it, they're like, no way, like my wife will get her tubes tied. Or
I worked in family planning for years, and I had two men the entire time I was there who even asked if we did vasectomies. And both of them kind of had the same. They're like, my dick's still going to work, right? And I'm like, yes, let me get out my form so I can show you why we're not going to interfere with your dick's ability to work. But it was always surprising to me how many people come
form,
in.
Not like a ruler. I was like, where is
I know, because she did this with her hands too. Yeah. So I was like, what are
we
measuring?
Like, laminated. It's so funny because we had all these like laminated things I used to like show people things. And it was funny because that one never got taken out because no one ever asked about it. But every week, tons of women came in to get be talked to about tubules, which I thought was always permanent sterilization at that time. We still had Escher. But I'm just like, it always kind of blew my mind. I'm like, why? But I what yeah, I figured so out. Fear. Fear. Right? They're yeah, really afraid something's going to go wrong.
And it's not going to work.
It's not going to work anymore, even though that's not how it works.
Because my ex-husband got it.
To plastic surgery.
I think it's just not out of control. It's interesting. I've never had, and this may be anecdotal, so I'll just throw that out there. Doing bariatric surgery in the history that I've been doing the evals, I've had two surgeons call me and say, can you work with this man? Two different men. They have scheduled surgery three times and not shown up day of. We want to do it again, but we can't have them not show up.
Yeah.
Can you help them? And in both cases, I've maybe had a woman not show up once and then literally they just didn't do it. Like, they're just like, I'm done. This isn't happening. But these repeat, when I asked the repeat men that didn't show up, like, what, they're too afraid they're going to die. They're like, I am the breadwinner. I take care of my family. Like, this is a duty to my family to be alive. If I do this thing that to them still felt kind of a choice and I die, I'm the worst.
Provider.
Yeah. And I think in one case, it was a cultural connection too. So I think it's interesting because I think sometimes, though you would think women would be like, oh, my kid, her kid. And I definitely think, you know, I've had clients be like, I want to have a tummy tuck a week. And I'm like,
no, you don't.
What? And they're like, I don't want to die from anesthesia. I was like, okay, like, time out. Like, I don't want you the trauma of smelling skin burn. But anyways, but it's like, it is interesting in some of those guys. Women are more likely, I think, to talk about it and us actually, like, figure out the, like, statistical average or, like, how we're going to negate that or whatever. Where I think men are like, I won't even ask. I won't even talk about it. I would just have fear internally. And I just happen to be a therapist who asks about that. But I do think there is a connection, either loss of control. I think there's some messaging societal-wise about masculine versus feminine. Mm-hmm. You know, men don't have plastic surgery. They shouldn't be that vain. They shouldn't worry about that.
Oh, 100%.
Which, again, is so interesting to me because, particularly post-bariatrics, it's about function.
Yeah.
They want to wear pants. They want to go to the beach. You know, like, they don't want their skin to rub. They don't want, you know, it's like there's so much functionality in it beyond just, I want a body that looks out like how I hope it does. But I
no,
do.
No, you were going to say.
What did you think I was going to say?
No, Mel was going to say something and I cut her off earlier.
Oh, you're fine. I was just going to say, like, my brother, well, my ex-husband got the vasectomy done. He was more like, I don't give a fuck, we'll do it. That was not a problem for him. But my brother, it was. And that was really hard for him. Like, he did it because the man has, like, 1,000 children. No, he really doesn't, but he has 7. So it's like,
your brother has 7 children?
Yeah, 5.
Literally?
Yeah, 5 from his, like, from him and 2 from when they got married.
Right.
But yeah, it's like, wait, it's 5 from his first wife. And then the second wife has 2 that came with her. So I counted as 7. But he's technically had 5.
Okay, but he's had 5.
5. Okay, 4 girls first. 5. Yeah. He was waiting for the boy. So that was the deal. So they waited all the way till the 5th, got the boy. And then, like, she was like, okay, you're going to need to do this. And he was just
the
like,
amount of therapy these children are going to have to have. What did I declared? 100%. That I would keep going until I had a boy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and he's bad because he'll be like, boy gets whatever he wants. And I'll look at him like, that's not how this works, bro. You got 4 girls. They're going to, like, mess you up. But it was hard for him. And finally, like, he made the appointment, did the thing. And then he calls me, like, 2 days afterwards. He's like, I don't know if I should have done that. And I'm like, why? He's like, I don't know. It feels weird to not be able to make life.
Oh.
I was like, that's interesting. I'm like, but you've made 5. You've made 5 lives. So I think you're good.
If you change your mind, you can come down to the billboard man who like reverses vasectomies here in Florida. Do you ever see that billboard?
Yeah, I've seen the billboard. That's why I was.
It's like when you go down to, no. It's actually when you go up north. The vasectomy reversal guy.
I do think I've seen that sign. Mm-hmm.
Yes, when you're like going up to Atlanta. It's this big billboard. It's been there since the early 2000s. But at this point, he's probably done a ton of them. Interesting fact, the only insurance I've ever seen paid for a reversal vasectomy is TRICARE.
Interesting.
Yeah, TRICARE pairs for anything. I mean, I think they even cover like tummy tucks and breast reduction, like breast lift.
Yeah. Breast lifts and implants if there's a mental health component. I used to write those letters way back in the day.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey, personal feeling. If you are living with the trauma of having a spouse that is in the military, you deserve some boobs.
Yeah.
As your therapist. Get some boobies. You deserve some boobs.
Have you seen any military guys come in?
Gervaina says no comment. You have no comment on that.
Yeah.
He's like, well, if they want boobies, I'll give them to
I don't think they usually cover spouses of military, do they? Yeah. I don't think maybe I've just never seen one, but usually it's the military
you have
person.
To
so.
Know the system, work the system. Those are the like professional spouses who like know all the stuff and how to get all the stuff. Mm. I very much appreciate that. It's not a comment to those ladies, but work yeah. that system. You have to deal with that trauma for the rest of your life.
Do it.
And get the boobs. And everything else you're entitled to.
Exactly. Well, have you seen military guys go in, Dr. Venus?
Any plastic surgery?
Yeah.
It happens, but it's pretty, I've probably done a few in the last, you know, 5 years, like a handful.
Is yeah. it more reconstruction after, like, I had a guy, like, a long time ago. He had to get some stuff fixed because it, like, got blown up.
No, most of what I see is, I would say the most common one, probably, like, 4 out of the 5 I saw was organicomastia.
What is that?
It's the male breast tissue. That's the most common one.
Gotcha. Yeah, because like, okay, so I have a guy friend, like an actual guy friend that wants surgery, but like,
oh, can you clarify, this is not someone you have sex with.
Yeah, this is no.
I knew exactly what you meant.
I don't know.
An actual guy friend.
Actual guy friend. Because you know when you say like, oh, I have this friend, they always think it's like, yeah, someone you're with. Anyways, but like, I actually wanted to ask you, Dr. Bates, because I think he should do a 360 around. That's just my answer for a lot of things anyway. But because of the lower, like, love handles, like, he works out all the time. But this love handle situation on the lower back is just not budging. And he's like, I'm doing as much core work as I can.
That's
and
like
it's just
Dr.
not
Mike,
working.
Our crazy bleeding Dr. Mike.
So is that... Do you see that? Like, would that be a 360 probably then? Is that common or?
So most of the time, yes. The problem with, not the problem, but the thing you have to pay attention to as a surgeon, and a lot of people miss it, and I've missed it before too. If there's a really large area of fat that's then causing like an outpouching of skin, basically like it stretched that skin out, depending on the quality of the skin, the age of the patient, you know, skin elasticity, all those things you have to take into consideration. If you treat it with liposuction only and the skin is not very good quality, you're going to essentially create excess skin, right? Because you've gone in and taken the fat and now you're increasing the ratio of skin to fat, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I've missed it once or twice on patients where I told them, I think we can just lipo this and do like an extended tummy tuck. And then they came back and they still had a little bit of tissue on the sides. And there's a couple of times where I'll tell, you know, the flip side, right? More often than not, I tell them you need a 360. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, what if you just lipo? It's like, yeah, but your skin isn't going to bounce back.
Right.
And then you're going to still have this, like, instead of a bulge, you'll kind of have this like weird skin just bunching at the ends. So luckily, more often than not, I call it right. But that's the consequence if you don't, you know, catch it and recommend it to them.
Yeah, because he was like, I think lipo can do it. And I go, I don't think so, bro. I'm like, I talk to Dr. Bates almost once a week. I really don't think lipo is going to do that.
Depends on his skin quality, you know, age, skin quality, stretch marks, all that stuff. Okay.
So if they have a lot of stretch marks in that area, is that something that they need to be aware of? Like, how does...
It's just, you know, a sign of damaged skin, right? Okay. We talked about that. I think at one point it's damaged skin, but it's a sign of what also has happened underneath, which is the tissue underneath is also damaged and loose.
Okay.
I know we have talked about Dr. Mike Israel, but he's like a bodybuilding guy that had plastics. And I was surprised when he did it because at first I'm like, why didn't he just have lipo? But he actually had to have skin removal for that very thing, but he only had the back done because I think he's a bodybuilding. He didn't have it around to the front.
Very unusual.
I'm trying
he's
to
like
think.
A bodybuilder.
He's so
like
big though. Like I don't see any loose skin on the front. But Because I follow, we follow.
The thing is, when you've done the back, usually there's so much loose skin. Not there's so much loose skin. By the time you've done the back and the outer thigh, you've got to taper that incision or that skin removal to the front.
Oh.
So even if you don't have a lot of loose skin on the front, just tapering it down to where it meets and you don't have like a lot of bunching, you would end up going most, if not all the way around the front, at least to the hip bone, if not all the way across.
Do men and women have different spots that are like more loose skin than like, say, I would? Like a guy versus girl situation? Like, or is it just body types?
That's a good question. No, I don't think there's different areas.
Okay.
I will say men don't typically come and get their arms done.
Okay.
That's more of a concern, I would say, not so much shape and anatomy and things like that.
So but his did go around to the front, but it's like...
to the hip bone, at least to the hip bone.
Yeah, it's okay. like 3 inches around. I don't know how
it has
to.
It has to. Yeah. You can't do the back and not come around the front. I mean, it's... or you would have a terrible looking scar.
It's like a sideways. Very interesting.
So it's kind of like a... I don't have a name. It was a buttock lift, but you have to taper it out to the front.
Yeah, no, that's a very interesting... that's very interesting. It almost reminds me kind of like of a backwards extended tummy tuck. So instead of going around the back...
it's the 270 scar, just meeting in the back, not in the front. But I mean, at that point, if you... I can't imagine if he was... he's a weight loss patient, right?
No. Yeah.
Oh, he's just a bodybuilder, never lost weight.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yep. I shouldn't say just a bodybuilder. That's not a... that's a common area. It's a common area in men. I mean, and women. We talk about it all the time, but it's a very common area in men. I did a guy yesterday. Same thing. Love handles. You know, he also had some chest tissue he didn't like, so very common.
Yeah, he used Alpha Male in Chicago, which I'm just like, here's what I'm confused about.
Wait, is that Doug Steinbrick?
Let me see if that's Alpha Male. Because to me, I always heard that, like, and you have to be really careful with men in plastic surgery. Let's see, Alpha Male.
It has to be.
Plastic surgery.
I'm not sure he's in Chicago. I think he's got a few offices.
He is.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, what's...
I thought Alpha Male was a supplement.
No, it's Douglas Steinbrick.
Steinbrick.
Dr. Steinbrick, yeah. Which I was surprised. I mean, I think it's good that there's someone who specializes in male plastic surgery. I was just surprised because I know, especially like young men, and even Mike Israel, like he's a pretty self-assured guy, which sometimes can be a red flag. You want to talk about that?
Talking about Dr. Steinbrick.
No, more or less. Like, well, you know how I was asking if there's any differences between men and women for skin, like for loose skin? Now it's more like mental. Like, is there, what do you look for differently in men than you would in a woman?
Yeah, so, you know, males seeking plastic surgery, one of the things that we're kind of taught to screen for is, and we talked about this in one of our previous episodes, is body dysmorphia, right? So where the patient sees something in themselves that, let's say the majority, I won't say no one else sees, but the majority of the population doesn't see as a flaw or as a imperfection. And so, you know, we use this acronym SIMON, single immature, S-I-M.
So single, immature.
Male. Over-expectant, meaning like high expectations, and then narcissistic. So if you see some of these signs, usually we'll refer to mental health therapists or psychiatrists. Actually, I had a guy, maybe it's probably right around the new year, before the new year, who came in wanting a BBL. And when I asked him, you know, how long he thought about it, what exactly he didn't like, you get kind of these like unclear and like very vague unclear answers, not really sure why he's doing it, can't tell me what, you know, when I ask a patient typically like, what don't you like, or what are your goals? There should be a clear answer to that question.
Mm-hmm. Which is odd because I can think of the very clear answer for why you'd want a BBL.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, my butt is small. My butt is flat. My butt doesn't fit in jeans well. I don't like how my butt looks.
Yeah, he didn't have any of those answers, right? I think he said he just didn't like it. He just said, I don't like it. And
because then it's hard for you to pick.
This isn't so much. Yeah, right. So that's exactly it. This isn't so much a problem of maybe body dysmorphia, but also if you can't, I think he had some body dysmorphia, but if you can't tell me what your goal is, like, do you want a bigger, smaller, rounder? How can I make it happen, right? So I can't take someone to the OR where if I don't understand their goals and their expectations, because he might not like his butt, he might want it smaller, and if I go in and make it bigger, then we have a problem, right?
Right.
So,
right. Even if you asked five women and you said, like, what does your ideal butt look like? We would all give very,
very
I know I would give
answers.
A very different answer than three friends that I can think of off the top of my head. What their
And you don't want what
be.
I think is nice, right? You want what you think is nice.
Right.
So, yeah. Or what Mel thinks is nice. So, I'm trying to think some of the other red flags for the specific patient. But yeah,
which
we
again
sent him
is why I was like, alpha, like, he's just going to bring in all the nurses. I don't, it's just a funny, I like, oh man. Yeah.
Yep.
Like, I don't know. It's just an interesting name choice.
I get it a little bit because he's trying to make them feel like it's okay. You know, like, hey, come
yes.
in. Like, you're an alpha male. It's fine. Right. Because when I went to Phoenix, I met older men that had calf implants.
Yes.
And that was interesting to me because I've never
remember
were you at
True
some
Life?
Convention where you met a bunch of guys with calf implants.
So I was training for Progressive in Tempe, Arizona. And then at night, we went to like all these clubs downtown of Scottsdale. And so I was around these older rich men, which, by the way, are very touchy and handsy. And oh, my goodness. But they're like, yeah, I got mine done and my friend has his done. And I'm just like,
do you remember that? Like, okay, MTV True Life, I got plastic surgery. And one of them was there was like a time period in the early 2000s where I feel like a lot of men in certain areas like Miami, Scottsdale, were getting like calf implants.
Yeah.
Because they didn't
they
want
just
like
do fat
chickens.
Transfer now. I mean, some people still do calf implants. Oh. Dr. Steinberg does a lot of bicep, tricep, calf, buttock implants.
Okay.
He talks and lectures about it. I've met him a few times. Very nice guy. Very good surgeon.
But I remember like the early, maybe like 06, 07, 08, probably long before we were doing a lot of fat transfers. We probably were, but I do remember there's a weird period of time where like a lot of men were getting calf implants.
I mean, implants are still, the implants probably won't go away, if not ever go away, only because it's quick, it's easy. I'm not a fan of them. I mean, breast implants are a different thing, but I'm talking like muscular implants. I think we talked about like BBLs, for example, a few episodes ago. I've never had a patient where you can't get enough fat to give a BBL or again, shape away some of the love handle area, right? If you shape that back, you can usually get a pretty nice BBL. And then now the other nice thing we've had for about a year, maybe in change, we might have talked about this also recently, is the fat off the shelf, kind of the aloe clay that's
that
out.
So weird. The fake fat.
Even more of a reason to, yeah, even more reason not to do an implant because those things just don't last forever.
Have you ever done a calf implant?
Maybe in residency.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been, if I have, it's been a while. I feel like we might have done one or two, but again, so I haven't done it in practice.
And then you said that you don't see men doing arm surgeries.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Like, I get it.
I don't see men for weight loss arms. I see men for, like, lipo, fat grafting. But I don't have men who come in. I can probably count on two hands the number of male brachioplasties that I've done.
They probably think they can just pump the iron.
It's interesting.
I think it's just maybe it doesn't bother them. I don't know. It's a good. I just thought of that now, actually, as we were kind of chatting.
Yeah.
I've definitely done more like tummy tucks and lower body lifts.
My one client, too, I had, he didn't have the arms of like here. He had more armpit work when they removed the breast tissue. Mm-hmm. And so in my mind, he got his arms done. But when I actually think about it, I don't think he actually did get like the actual, he did
he
like
did the
arm,
in.
In here, because he had
a very good procedure. It's not a very good procedure, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, that's a fun non-scale victory, though, guys, is when you actually, like, lift up and there's a real pit there. That was one
he
of mine. I was like,
armpit as
holy
much
shit.
As he had, like, a upper back, and then it went around and got the
okay. Yeah, so maybe he didn't have arms.
Yeah.
But yeah, as we were chatting, when you were asking, like, what do they come in for? I was just thinking now, I probably, like I said, probably done like no more than 10 male brachioplasties.
Okay.
Probably the same with thighs. The most common thing is tummy and maybe even for non-weight loss patients, I'd say it's chest.
Like the pecs.
Even for weight loss patients, the chest bothers them more than the belly. Probably because the belly, you can wear like swim trunks, let's say, if you're at the beach, but you can't cover up your chest because you're topless.
Right.
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
I think too, it can be more triggering, probably isn't the right word, but like being able to see, feel like they have breasts or deflated mm-hmm. breasts mm-hmm. might have been a childhood thing where people either made fun of them, commented on, like women would put it in a bra, no big deal.
But they can't. I know, like, even with my kid, like that was, you know, they go through those stages and you're just like, sorry, dude, you're just like, when you lose weight and you get taller and you move around, like it's all going to be, you know, one. But like, I know grown men that have like, it looks like a sad boobie and they know it and they're not fans of it either. But they're, a lot of them are shy to like go to say Dr. Betas and be like, hey, look at my chest.
There's also a weirder feeling about having the scar chest and feeling that someone is going to think that they're transgender. I've definitely had people say that to me.
I've heard that before too.
Yep. I've had a couple guys.
It never occurs to me. I'm like, you're a massive weight loss patient. Like, that's why you have that
but
scar.
But the people won't like, know that afterwards.
True, but there's, you know, probably how, like, another part of them that may indicate that they are a mass weight loss patient and that their
imagine.
Dick has always been there. I mean, like, I don't know. I get it. You know, men certainly come up with things that women probably wouldn't. But I think it's just an interesting, I hadn't really thought of that as a thing until one of my clients said that. And I was like,
yeah,
that's an interesting concern.
As a societal problem. Because that's really where it's coming from. It's like, that shouldn't even be a thing. You shouldn't even have to think about that.
I agree. And it's, you know, it's kind of crazy that I've heard that before.
Yeah. So when you do a guy's chest, do you have to take off their nipple too?
It depends. Often, yes. You do what's called a skin graft. But it's not every case. And sometimes there are techniques where we can save it on a kind of a rib of tissue underneath the incisions.
Okay.
Only thing is, it tends to leave, because you're saving it on a rim of tissue, you leave more tissue behind, right? To kind of keep that nipple sensation and preserve the blood flow, which most men don't want. Typically, we end up doing a skin graft. Yeah.
Got you. I can't remember what it is, but I know Rob Rafan? Did I say that right? Rob R. Like, he has plastic surgery done, and he, one of his nipples, he's not happy with because of the way that it like healed.
Scarred, yeah.
Yeah, because it looked really, like, you can tell that it was placed on there for him. So he was like, can't do anything about it now, but he's happy he did it. So guys, there are people out there that really are happy with their bodies. Just go get it checked and whatever you want done.
Mm-hmm. Like,
so with the chest part, like, have you had to make, like, the whole defining look, you know?
Yes, that's something you specialize in. The high
definition. You mean that?
You did like the whole contouring to make it look like, you know, two pecs and all that shit.
Yeah. Ooh. So typically you'll fat graft the pec muscle itself. I mean, you can do it without fat grafting. You can do the lipo to give some definition. Again, that's not typically not ideal in weight loss patients, except me, or I shouldn't say, let me phrase this right. It's typically not ideal in one stage for a weight loss patient. So you'd want to do kind of the skin removal, some initial shaping, and then come back maybe and fat graft the muscle.
There we go. Okay.
There might be a few men after weight loss who could be a candidate to do it at the same time. But I'd say for the majority, I'd probably stage that into two procedures.
Now, here's a random question about fat transfer, because I'd gotten this question in the DMs, and I was going to ask you it today anyway. It's perfect timing. When you do the fat transfer, when, say, like, okay, we do the fat transfer and my boobs and my butt, and then 6 months later, I'm working out. People are worried that we're going to burn off that fat you transferred. Is that a thing?
Okay. No, I mean, it probably could be a thing if, like, you had your surgery and you hadn't worked out before. And then 6 months later, you said, I'm going to start going to the gym and working out. But if you are maintaining the same lifestyle before and after surgery, you shouldn't see a change in the fat that you put in. It's your fat just like any other that elsewhere. That's why we stress on stable weight, right? Or a stable lifestyle. Like, we don't want you to do a crash diet, lose 10, 15, whatever, 20 pounds, have your plastic surgery and then gain it back, because then your result's not going to withstand the test of time.
Yeah.
Same with Same with fat transfer. You don't want to, you know, not be working out, do the surgery and then work out, because you might burn some of it then. I'm not going to say you're going to burn it all, but you probably see some change in your results.
You said that, so we had the Simon for men to look mm-hmm. for. Is there anything like that for women, or is that just really like a dude thing?
It's mostly, I think it's a lot of it is rhinoplasties. That's why when Ashton was talking about the gentleman earlier, that was kind of the first thing, because it's typically men going in for rhinoplasty.
Okay.
And again, they're obsessing about something very small. I mean, in women, we still look for signs of body dysmorphia, right? I mean, you don't want to operate on those patients.
Yeah.
Typically, they need help. They need like mental help. And there's nothing wrong with that, but you're not going to make them happy. And so you don't want to be the surgeon who operates on someone who's never going to be happy, because now you're just stuck.
Yeah.
There's no acronym, but it's just something, again, you have to look out for and make sure we ask the right questions. And then again, if the patient can't tell me what their goal is, then I can't really help them at that point. So,
yeah. And guys, yeah,
for me, one of the things I look for is repeat on the same area.
Yeah.
And they can't really tell me necessarily, like, it just doesn't mm-hmm. look right. I think that's so what I see in women often is breasts. So like something doesn't look right to them. Either like it needs to be super symmetrical, something, and they've done 3 surgeries at this point and they still haven't gotten what they're looking for, but it's not necessarily like the pocket failed or like something that they can like tell me, this is the thing that happened the first time and this is the thing that happened the second time. Those sometimes are the conversations I'm having, like, okay, has anyone told you that they're not seeing what you're seeing? Have you ever had a surgeon tell you, I'm not willing to operate on you because I have concerns?
Yeah, because like I was telling them offline, guys, is that like, at a hairdresser like that, he'd get lipo and then tell me how he needs to get more lipo and he needs to maybe now do a tummy tuck. And he looks perfect to me. Like he has abs, you know, and like you can see his like hip bones and everything. So I'm just like, what are you seeing? Because I'm like, why? Because in my head, I'm like, don't waste that money. Like you look great. And he was just like, no, I'm going to go back. I already have an appointment. And I'm like, and I think he's gone back 3 times, but I think it was 2 different doctors, though.
Right. I think so. There's a few red flags, actually. And you mentioned it like multiple times on the same body part, especially if you have again, nothing's ever perfect in plastic surgery. Some of it is science, some of it is art. If someone comes in and it's like, well, I had this done, I didn't like it, and I can see that, yes, okay, this is not a good result, or we can make this better, then I'm happy to help. If it's like, again, a realistic expectation. But if they're coming in and they're like, well, I expected this, and the surgeon, you know, and again, depending on how they're, some people will badmouth surgeons, and, you know, it's not great. I don't like to hear that. And I've never badmouthed anyone, but occasionally you can kind of tell if they're like very negative about them. Mm. That might be also a little bit of a red flag. Lost my train of thought.
That's okay. That's okay.
Because I think that makes sense. If you have a surgery 3 or 4 times on the same area, yeah, and you're still not getting the result, but it's not a mechanical failure or... like, because most of the time, they have, like, the second one. It's like, oh, okay, like, the pocket failed or whatever the medical term for that. Like, one boob is, like, really off and you're like, oh, okay, understand what you're going to fix there.
Correct. And then the other thing is multiple operations by different surgeons. It's like, were you shopping? Were you not sure? You know, what's the reason? We'll say I get a lot of revision surgeries, and sometimes it's hard to figure out, like, are you shopping or are you, do you just not? And a lot of them will tell me the first surgeon offered to fix it. And sometimes they've already had, like, the surgeon has tried twice now and they're coming in. This is like the third surgery. And a lot of times I hear, like, I just don't trust that person anymore. Right. So
that's
very important to trust your surgeon. Mm-hmm. And I get it. I mean, if someone gave you a bad result or a result that you weren't expecting, that can be tough to then go back and have them fix it. The conversation I usually have with them is, if you were my patient and this was the issue and I hadn't kind of talked you through this before, you know, it's one, and this is where it gets nuanced, right? It's one thing if I tell someone you need a lower body lift, they get a tummy tuck and they're not happy. And I'm like, okay, well, that was your decision. That was not part of our, like, something we didn't discuss. But if we do a tummy tuck, their skin relaxes, they want that revised. You know, a lot of times that's, again, something I talk to you about your skin's going to relax. We can do it during something else, but I'm not going to do a revision for free without doing anything else at the same time because we talked about your skin relaxing. But if it's something where it's like, yeah, I don't like this, or it's something we could have avoided, maybe an area needs liposuction, and that's what they're coming to see me for, I usually tell them what I would do for my patient is waive my fee. I don't know what your surgeons talk to you. You know, this is how I kind of phrase it to them. I don't know how what your surgeon told you or what they plan on doing, but if they're offering to fix it, you should consider that. And then again, typically they'll either say, well, yeah, they did, or I'm not sure. I want another opinion. I don't trust them. And then sometimes you have to kind of talk through that.
I can imagine too, with your eye, sometimes you could just look at it and be like, the surgeon didn't exactly know what they were doing.
Well, yes,
correct. I didn't say that to them, but you could look
and
be like, this is something that needs to be fixed by someone else than the person who originally did it.
Yep.
I mean, I've told patients, I had a lady come in probably a couple months ago. We did her surgery, I think, about a month ago. She'd had a thigh lift by a surgeon. She had a couple of surgeries. One was in Tampa, one was here. And she was like, oh, I thought this was going to fix the loose skin on my thigh. I was like, well, and she knew that something had not been done correctly. Like, she didn't even point it out. So her scar was about like 2 inches away, maybe not two, maybe 1.5, away from her groin crease. So very low. Like, you wear a bikini, it's visible.
Okay.
So she didn't like that. And her loose skin hadn't been corrected, except in like the upper thigh. That's what a thigh lift does. And so I told her, yeah, you had the, I mean, again, after I've examined her, I was like, yeah, you had the wrong surgery. I was like, whoever did this didn't know. I mean, maybe this is what you asked for and they did what you asked for, but they should have warned you it wasn't going to give you the result that you wanted. And so again, I wasn't there initially. So maybe she went in and she was like, I want a thigh lift. I don't want this long scar. That may have very well been true, right? I wasn't there, but I said, this was the incorrect surgery for you. If it were me, I would have advised you against doing a thigh lift if your goal was to reshape the entire thigh. So yeah, I mean, we've had those conversations before. It's not easy, but I don't necessarily say like your surgeon's an idiot and didn't do the right thing. I just say this was the wrong operation for you.
Right. But I have a feeling there's just an aspect of that too, where you can kind of look at it and be like, this isn't them being unrealistic. There's something going on here.
Yeah.
Say that again.
Like, I think sometimes even if someone comes in and says, I've had 3 surgeries on this area, you could look at it and be like, yes. That's because it wasn't done correctly. I think I'm just saying to people out there,
yes,
if you've had to have multiple on once, that does not mean you have body dysphoria or there's anything wrong. It might have been repeatedly done incorrectly. Like, that is a thing.
And so I was trying to make this point earlier when I got sidetracked. So one of the things that's also very difficult in revision surgery is, did you have a good surgeon who was unlucky? Or, you know, maybe like, again, we can't predict everything 100%, right? I make mistakes too. And then the other question is, can I fix it? Like, has so much damage been done?
Right.
Like, what can we realistically achieve going forward? Because you've got scar tissue, like this lady with the thigh lift, for example, her scar is really low or was really low. I told her, I can't get it where it needs to be. Like, you don't have enough loose skin now for me to lift the scar that 1.5 inches to put it in your groin crease.
Wow.
I said, I can maybe lift it like 1/2 inch, but it's not going to be in the right position. Maybe 2 surgeries. Like, if we do it once, then wait for things to relax and do it again, that's possible. And so those are some of the things you have to talk through. And sometimes it's so bad. It's like, you know, do I want to take this on? Because now you're my problem, right?
Yep.
Because I'm the last surgeon who operated on you. I had a girl come up she might have been local, but she had gone down to Miami to a pretty well respected plastic surgeon. And he had done her breasts, and I think she didn't like them, did a revision. She was pretty realistic, but just didn't have a good outcome, and then wanted a revision. And I was like, I'm not sure I want to tackle this. It's a little too complex. I told her, you need to downsize your implants. Part of your problem is that your implants are too large. And that's why they're drifting down and out. And she was like, but I like the size. I was like, okay, then go back, go find someone who's going to help you, or go back to your surgeon and see if he'll fix it. So a lot of it is like, can I help you? And B, do I want to take this you on? Because now you're going to come back to me when you have a complication or a problem.
Yeah, got a lifer there.
Or the giant implant, like, degrades the skin and now you gotta fix it.
Yeah.
Has guys ever had you do pec implants?
I don't think I've done pec implants also since residency. Okay. I've done fat transfers.
But you do the fat transfers. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I've done that for women too, actually. When we do like fat transfer to the breast, you can put easily another like 200 cc's in the muscle.
Ooh, so then I could be more muscular too at the same time?
It doesn't show as muscle. It just shows as projection.
I love me.
But you can only put so much in a space. So when you put it in the muscle, you have more space to put it in.
Gonna make mouth swell.
Well, and you, so if you haven't done any guys' arms, I'm sure, like, I wonder if they get them shaped. Cause like you're good at like, you know, the contouring. So I'm wondering like if you could shape all that or how does that even work?
In a non-weight loss patient, yes. In a weight loss patient, you could, but you'd have to do the skin removal to give it shape. Otherwise, the skin will just mask it. That's what I'm saying. I've done men arms, but weight loss patient brachioplasties, no more than 10.
Got you. Okay. Yeah. So how do you do the guy's arms then? Just you're moving fat around and making it into the muscle or?
Yeah. So you generally will draw kind of their muscular borders.
Okay.
And you want to define those with lipo. And then you can inject fat into like the biceps, the triceps, the deltoid.
Oh, do you ever do traps?
Mm-hmm. Trap. Mm. Yeah. So on the guy yesterday,
you
we didn't do
see
arms.
See pictures of this. I would. Like
I know.
To see
I'm fascinated.
I'm fascinated. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. On the guy yesterday, for example, we did. Again, you know, you talked about like harmony. I think we were talking about this maybe off air. But you know, sometimes patients don't realize that. Like, if you come in and just do your chest, for example. It's going to look off if you still have a ton of loose skin on your belly.
Right. Right.
So when we typically do high def lipo, we try not to, even if a patient comes in saying like, I want my chest or I want abs, I want a six pack. Okay. But if you have a six pack and you have like saggy chest tissue or saggy arm skin, it's not going to look natural. People can tell you
away.
Had surgery.
Gonna give
yeah,
it away.
Exactly. You're going to give it away. So the goal for us is this, you know, to kind of mask that you had something done. So for the guy yesterday, I think he initially came in for his chest and belly. And I said, well, maybe you don't do like arms and legs together, but let's do like chest, belly, and back all together.
Okay.
So we did lipo of his chest, belly, back, and then we did fat transfer into his pecs, into the lats, the big back muscle here, right? So you kind of like expand this area. Men want like that V shape, you expand the chest.
Yep.
And then we did fat grafting into his back muscles. Kind of like on the middle, like on either side of the middle.
Do you have social media release? Can we see him?
Yeah, I have videos. I just haven't posted them yet.
Sweet.
I would really be. That one sounds really. Yeah. That was not a weight loss patient though, correct?
He lost like 40 pounds or so.
Okay. Not a bariatric.
Not a bariatric patient, no.
Or extreme. Because like, so I guess, have you tell the audience though, like, have you done an extreme weight loss guy and like, how many stages that kind of was.
Oh, yeah. I've done the guy, probably the one who lost the most weight was about 500 pounds.
Damn.
He lost 500 pounds or he started
it? He lost 500 pounds. Yeah.
Wow.
I've had a few patients like that. Those are...
What did
and
he
the,
need?
Actually the, sorry?
What did he need? All of it.
Everything.
Everything. Okay.
Everything.
But, yeah.
The problem with him, though, was he had a very complicated medical history. Worst of all, and he was older, not like super old, but in his 50s or maybe late 50s, early 60s. The worst part of his medical history, and I can't remember exactly if it was a heart attack or clotting, but he was on a blood thinner. I want to say he had clots. This was years ago now. So anyway, so we tried to minimize the amount of time he was under general anesthesia. So I basically did. Every body part was like one operation. So like arms was one, chest was one, his upper back was one. Or maybe I might have combined those because again, like it's double the work if you separate them.
Yeah.
I think I did split his lower body lift though into two. And sometimes when you have that amount of weight loss, it makes sense anyway because you are going to get skin relaxation and almost do it twice, even if you don't do it twice, if that makes sense. Yeah, that would be the most extreme male weight loss. Yeah.
Did you do his thighs too? Is that one that you did almost?
I did his thighs. I think his thighs needed two or three rounds and it needed a lot of lipo. He had, I guess another complicating thing. He had some component of lymphedema in his lower extremity or one of his lower extremities.
Okay.
So that's when you have fluid build up. And if I remember, I think this was the same guy. I think he had like all, sometimes you can get like a fluid sac essentially if you don't like wrap and see physical therapy and do all the things you're supposed to do. So basically fluid starts to build in the extremity and it can basically find its way in, but not out. And then you get this vicious cycle of fluid buildup. It's stretching skin. So I think one of his operations was just going in and kind of taking this giant tissue ball of fluid out.
Wow.
Whoa.
And then coming back and doing his thigh plasty months
later.
So
even though you did this many years ago, was that like $100,000? And
probably.
Good question. I don't remember what. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it probably, maybe. It's, maybe not 100, but.
Probably really, really close to. I mean, so when I just want people to understand what that looks like. So it's like the pocket of fluid in your leg, like that's when I see that happening when it turns red on people. Is that right? When it's kind of like red,
it can become reddish. It can become like inflamed.
Yeah. At the bottom of their ankles and stuff. Or is that something else?
Well, that is more, that can be lymphedema, but that's usually more, we call like chronic venous stasis, meaning like blood is getting down into your feet, but not coming back up. And you just get pooling of blood that you get the redness. And sometimes it turns like purple and it gets hard and you get pitting edema. Yeah, that's more of like heart failure or liver failure. Lymphedema can look like that, but usually it's in one leg.
Okay.
Usually it's in one leg, whereas like heart failure, an organic problem, or I shouldn't say an organic problem, a problem with an organ is usually going to affect both feet the same. Whereas lymphedema is going to typically affect one leg and not the other.
Interesting. All righty. Well, did we cover everything male that we could think of today? Do you think there's anything we might have missed that the men should know about besides don't be embarrassed, just go get checked? And
I think it is important to make sure your surgeon has seen men, works on men, like talks about what's different in placement or like how they... not like attack it, but like that there may be some differences there. I think if you have someone who's like, I've done a few in my career, I do think it's important. This is one of the ones where I do want you to see someone who's done a couple, who could show you some pictures. And, I'm hoping you didn't just do one in residency.
Yeah. So guys, make sure you're checking the book, make sure they've done like males before. I would imagine that's a big deal. Cause
I would 100% agree. I think just like any plastic surgery, I mean, you don't want to go to someone who does like a breast reduction. You don't want to go to someone who does like one every few months or maybe even one a month. Like a breast reduction, most surgeons are doing 2 or 3, 4 a month. Or a facelift. You don't want the guy who's doing it once a month. You want the guy who's doing like 3 a week. Mm-hmm. At least that's what I would want, right? You're going to get the best results. This is maybe a bigger topic for another episode. My thought is always, first of all, when you do an operation, it takes about a year to see your long-term result.
Yes.
So you're always kind of a year behind your own curve, right? Like I do something today and let's say I change something today with how I do my thigh plasties. It takes me a year to really see like, did what I change? Do I like it? Do I not like it? Do I keep taking it forward? Or do I want to go back to revert back to the way I did it 2 weeks ago? So you need to do a lot of these to kind of, when you make a change, you see a difference. Otherwise, if you do like one a month or one a year, you're just never going to get the numbers to see a difference.
That's wild. Well, guys, you guys heard it from them. Make sure that you check those books. Make sure they're doing the things that they're supposed to be doing. Guys, make sure you're talking about this with your friends, family, therapists. We're not going to judge you because girls, actually, I love talking about this stuff with guys because it's like freeing because once they understand, like I have a couple, we're from the bariatric community, like from guys that have been big to smaller. I love being able to be like, oh my God, now when I'm in the shower, I don't touch anything. And they understand it. Or I'll be like, I really want my tummy tuck done because I'm tired of the flap. And they understand that. So it's like, it's okay to talk to us ladies. We actually talk about a lot of body parts when y'all aren't around. Don't worry, be comfortable about it. And of course, we're always here. We're answering questions. So you can put them down in the comments. You can DM us directly. And we do have our own Instagram now. So you can just DM us directly if you need anything on the Cutting Edge Pod. So So yeah, I think that's everything for this week. But if you guys need anything, again, just check in with someone. Have a great week.
Bye.